Amen. Every praise we can offer him is due to him. Amen. He's worthy of it tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. God, my Savior. God, my healer. Amen. Is he that to you tonight? Is he your deliverer? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we praise him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. So we just are thankful that God has revealed his truth to us and he's made himself known. Amen. And we see him face to face. Amen. We know him and his character, and he's revealed himself to us. He's made himself known to us. Amen. And the more that we know him, the more we love him. Amen. Amen. The more that we appreciate his character and who he is. Amen. The more that he's unveiled to us, the more we can't help but say, "That's my God." Amen. Amen. He's my Savior. That's my Papa. Amen. Amen. That's where I came from. Amen. That character of God on display. That's where that comes from him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Amen. I want to continue the thought here tonight, the greatness of God. So we'll have a part two here. And my brother John was starting to give that little testimony of the text, and I was starting to get excited, man. It's going to happen one of these days. Amen. You saw who? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's that way when people walk through the church door that you never thought would come, or you prayed that they would come.
Amen.
Amen. But it was your heart's desire that they would be there, but you just, there's something here, you know, it still catches you off guard, right? And you know, what a reunion that's going to be.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham said, you know, that God is so mindful of us that he made the order of the rapture and the resurrection so that we would see our loved ones first.
Amen.
Amen. So that we wouldn't be wondering who made it. And my, what a reunion. What a time that's going to be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Amen. He's worth serving, isn't he?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1 says, "Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God."
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that you would bless your word tonight once again. Lord, as we just submit ourselves to you, Lord, we surrender completely and just ask, Lord, that you would have your way. And Lord, that you would speak to each heart, Lord. Lord, each one that has a need, Lord, just pray that you would address that need tonight. Lord, as only you can do, Lord, you have a special way, Lord, where how you deal with your children, and that's in a very personal way, Lord. It's a very intimate way where you speak to each individual heart, Lord, and they know that it's you speaking. Lord, they could try to explain it. They could try to tell somebody else about the experience, but it's only known when they've had that experience. So I pray tonight that you would speak to each one, Lord, directly, Father, knowing that they would know, that each one would know, that we would know, Father, that it's you speaking directly to us. We thank you, Father, and we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother John, if you're listening. Amen. We used to do that. I, as Brother Jude was saying that, I remember the little church there in San Luis Obispo. We'd have a little tape recorder, and we were, you know, the song leader, the preacher was the one that had to press the record button on the little tape. Amen. Very humble a way of doing it. But we knew who was going to be listening to that tape. And so we would say, God bless you, so-and-so. God bless you. And amen. I remember Sister Joy saying, God bless you, Sister Darnell. That was amen. And because we knew she was always listening. So God bless you, Brother John. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning we were speaking about the greatness of God and just how mighty He is. Amen. How just the vastness of His being. It's beyond our comprehension. Amen. And how unique He is. He's the original. Amen. The original. And you know, there's many counterfeits or duplicates, many substitutes maybe that the enemy would try to give, but there's only one original, amen. And there's only one creator of all. Now we've been made in His image, and so we have creative tendencies, right? We are minor creators as well because we're like our Father, but still there's only one original creator, amen. And, you know, and we were just kind of meditating on the vastness of this creation, how huge, you know, the universe that God has created, and even the world that we live in and all of creation, the wonders, amen. We're still, as advanced as science is today, we're still, you know, scientists are just discovering what God has done. And they go into another little corner of the world and they find something else that they didn't know that God had put in perfect balance and harmony with everything else. And it's just His greatness, amen. And that we as His children, we find ourselves in the position to proclaim of His greatness. Amen. All of creation proclaims it, but we proclaim His greatness to a greater degree, to a greater level, because we are part of His masterpiece. Amen. His body that's made up of His eternal thoughts. Thoughts that He had in the eternities. Thoughts that were before time, before there was a creation. Parts of a part of Him that dwelt in the, you know, that always was, that always is. Those eternal thoughts. Amen. He said, those are the thoughts that I think towards you. Those thoughts were made flesh. Those thoughts have been manifested and we are manifesting Him, amen. And we know that body on earth that is His body, that we are baptized into by one Spirit, that body is His masterpiece, amen. Amen. Each one, each part of that body, each component, each one, the Bible likens us to living stones, lively stones placed into the building that God is assembling His body, amen. But each one is an eternal thought, and each one is original, amen, because it's part of Him. Each thought original like Him. There's no duplication. There's no an imitation can't touch it. But each one unique, amen, and essential and important and part of Him. My, what amazing greatness we can ascribe to our God, amen. The greatness of His glory, and. You know, Satan would like to imitate that. He would like to imitate the body of God, and he wants to build his own church, and he wants to have his own bride, and he wants to have his own Eden and his own paradise, amen, and his own reign. And so he tries to imitate the things that God has done. And so far down that he tries to imitate Christianity. He tries to imitate the very eternal thoughts, attributes of God. Amen. He wants to take that position. He wants to be one of those. Amen. But he can't have that place. Amen. Because there's only so many. And each one is unique, and he and 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 he can't imitate it, and he can't replace any of them. And Jesus said, I thank you, Father. Amen. I thank you, Father. For the wise and the prudent, they can't hear, but babes such as would learn. Amen. Those that are humble in heart, they hear me. And he said, all that the Father has given me shall come, and I won't lose one. Why? Because it's each one is an eternal thought. They can't be lost. Amen. So that's why we are redeemable. Amen. Because the Bible said the Son of God is not sin because his seed remains in him. As eternal thoughts of God, there's a seed lying there that could be redeemed. Not just could be. You know, we say it like that, that it could be like, well, it could or it could not. Well, no. That will be redeemed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We could just close with that. Amen. My, that's power. I mean, we could meditate on that through all eternity, brother, sister. Amen. Individual original thoughts. Predestinated, elected. Right? The Bible says, as many as he foreknew. Amen. He did predestinate. Amen. Those he predestinated, he called, and those he called, he justified, and those he justified, he glorified. Amen. And I mentioned to you this morning what it means to be glorified, where it says to celebrate. Amen. To adorn with splendor and glory, to high, hold in high honor and to magnify. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because we were in Christ. We were in the one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was God. Part of God. No, we are not God in and of ourselves. Amen. But we are a part of him. Amen. He's the one that glorifies. I didn't write it. Amen. Amen. So it's you and I, his eternal thoughts, that he is revealing himself to and through, and revealing his glory to and through. Amen. So tonight we want to just continue talking about this subject of the greatness of God. And, you know, we were talking this morning about the vastness of the universe, you know, and I mentioned something like 93 billion light years of the observable universe, the vastness of it, how huge it is. And, you know, there's thinking out there, and people are beginning to wonder and talk, especially now, because I don't know if you know this, but recently there's been a lot of declassified information that's come out from our government about UFOs, right? They've got all these. So in the 60s, there was a lot of activity with UFOs, and there was a lot of talk about it, right? There were sightings, and they had, different things where they talked about it a lot. And during the Cold War in particular, it was kind of a stressful time, and so these things were happening. And of course, we know in the spiritual realm, those natural things type what was happening in the spiritual realm. Amen. There was a time of the word coming open, and it was a transition time. Amen. But now it's starting to happen again, where it's becoming on the forefront of the public conversation. You know, it's out in the news outlets and things, they're talking about it, and they've declassified a bunch of videos and pictures and audio recordings and different things. And you know, as time has gone on, since the 60s, our ability to detect and record these things has only gotten better. And so they have just tremendous video and different things of UFOs. Right? And they're only called UFOs, but UFO stands for unidentified flying object. It just means they don't know what it is. But many of them are so far beyond in their capabilities anything that we can do, that you can't but help to think that there's a supernatural component to it. At least the natural observer can think of that. Now, we know that the prophet told us that at least some of those might just be technology or different things. We don't know, they're unidentified, but we know that at least some of them are visiting judgment angels.
Sure.
Because that's what we've been told, amen, and we believe that. That those are angels that as time goes on and the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites, the Gentiles, becomes more full, amen, they are investigating judgment angels.
Amen.
And but it always starts the conversation, you know, about, well, what if they're aliens, right? What if they're from another, you know, world out there somewhere, and Christians wonder about these things. And honestly, there's nothing in particular that I've ever found. Maybe you have, and you can inform me later. But you know, I've never found a particular thing where the Bible says there isn't, you know, something out there. But I'll tell you that personally, I don't believe that there is, and here's why. The stars were created as God's first Bible.
Right?
We know that the prophet taught us that, and we know that the constellations and different things, they speak of God's word. Amen. He said that God wrote his Bible in the stars. Now, you can only see that from here. All right? That Bible is written for us to view. Amen. And the things that are said in the scripture about God's attitude toward us is the other thing that I think of. His focus on us, and he says things like, you are the apple of my eye, right? You are his bride. Well, does he have other brides? He doesn't say that, right? And so his character and what he speaks about us, I think personally that he is focused right here, and if you look at, we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But so people would say, well, why the huge universe? Why did he create all that? Right? Well, when we begin to think about that universe, we begin to realize how small we are. Right, and I look at kind of like this. It's that whole thing is a setting for a jewel. Amen. It's all the backdrop. You know, a setting, and when they set a stone in a ring or jewelry or something, it's made to show off that stone, that diamond. They call it the setting. It's everything around it that's made to hold it and to enhance it, to bring out its beauty. I believe all of that is a setting for what God is doing right here. Amen? So when we begin to think about the greatness of God, we start big, but we get very small. And that's what makes God great. So in the scripture, and Brother Branham uses this word condescension, amen, and it means coming down from big to small. Now, there's another use of the word that I'm going to show you here in a minute, but for right now, I want to think about that concept. God coming from the eternity into time, into creation. Right? It's kind of like if you've ever, Brother Doug has talked a lot about photography and cameras and binoculars and things, right? If you understand how a lens works, a lens gathers light. And light can reflect off of all kinds of objects, and it's kind of just scattered, and it's kind of just going every which direction, right? It's actually, you know, it could be bouncing anywhere. But that lens, as the light begins to come into the lens, that lens begins to take that light and drive order to it. And it begins to focus it. And it begins to focus it down, 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 until it's a sharp image that you can see with your eye.
Amen.
It's kind of like when you were ever a kid, you don't have to raise your hand. if you did this. But maybe you might have taken like a magnifying glass and held it up, you know, and let the sun shine through it. And if you take that magnifying glass and you get it just the right distance from something, it takes those light rays and it begins to focus them down to a, right down to a point. So much so that it'll begin to burn that spot. Right? And so it's, you know, and if there happened to be a ant or a bug or whatever that's there, we wouldn't do that because we're Christians, right? Maybe before we were born again. But it burns, right? It becomes so focused. It's all of those rays just become, they come down and focus down into that point to where it's just so much energy focused in one spot. One single little pinpoint. Amen? So this is what God began to do. He began to move from the eternities, and he moved first into time. And so he focused down a little more, a little narrower. Then he began to create. He began to create the universe and space, and he moved into his own creation. Amen. And then in that creation, he began to deal directly with an earth. Amen. And he began to create life. And he began to narrow and focus and narrow and focus with each step until he became so focused down that he became all that he was. He poured into a man. A man who was 5 foot tall, whatever. Amen. Born in the city of Nazareth. Amen. Focused out from eternity all the way down, laser point down to that. And when you think about how big a man is, right. Amen. And he was not a particularly big man, but even if he was the biggest, greatest man on the earth, that would have been an amazing condescension from eternity down to that.
Right.
Amen. But he didn't just condescend all the way down to a man. But he condescended to a humble man.
Yes. Right.
Amen. He condescended down to a baby that was born in poverty.
Right.
Uh-huh. With a bad reputation.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
In a backwater town.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
All of that eternity. Laser down to that point. The Bible says there was no beauty that we should desire him. He was just a stoop-shouldered, worn down. Amen. The Bible said, you know, they said, you're not a man over 50 when he was in his 30s. The Bible said that there's no beauty that we should desire him. Not only a tiny, minuscule man, but the humblest of men. Completely unremarkable in physical traits and appearance. And yet God walked in that man. The greatness of God. We're talking tonight about the greatness of God and his ability of all of that to focus down and to be in one man. Amen. Humility is a deep sense of one's littleness. Amen?
Amen.
Littleness. He knew more than anyone how little he was.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? Think about if God had not created the vast universe around us, but maybe he just created a world that was, you know, half our size. And that was all he created. Right, we would feel much bigger. Right, we in relation to creation. If that's all there was, well, there, you know, we're pretty big in terms of all creation. But brother, sister, we ain't big. We are little. Amen. And we have a deep sense of our littleness. Amen. So this humility that Jesus put on display is the greatness of God on display to us. His ability to come to the place where he was accessible to the lowest of the low. That's why he did it. Amen? So that he could be accessible. That none would have an excuse. That none could say he wasn't available to me. No, he was available to anyone. To whosoever will. He made himself of low estate. Amen. So that the lowest of the low would be able to find salvation. You know, we talk about people sometimes who are extremely knowledgeable about a subject, or somebody who just knows something really, really well. And you can tell the difference between that type of person and somebody who doesn't have as good a grasp of it, because somebody who knows it really well can explain it. They can take that because they understand it top to bottom, and they understand the concepts behind it. They can take it and they can break it down to where somebody who doesn't know anything about that subject can begin to understand it, because they have such a good grasp of it. Amen. And it's an expert level of understanding. It's an expert familiarity with whatever the topic may be, right? Well, Jesus did that for the common people because he knows them. He's not like a king that's just sitting off somewhere and, oh, I have subjects. He knows every single one. He has a intimate, familiar knowledge with everyone. Amen? And so what he did is he made himself, he came down to the simplest form that he could. Amen. As our Savior, as our kinsman, to be able to redeem us, to make himself accessible, to make salvation and heaven accessible for you and I. Amen. I'm so thankful. Amen. Amen. That's part of his greatness, is that simplicity. And that simplicity was what people stumbled over. Amen. That's what Pharisees and the priests, that's what the men that they knew too much for their own good. They were too smart for their own good. They stumbled over that simplicity. But he had to come in that simplicity. Amen? The simplicity of just receiving Jesus Christ, receiving what he did, it's too much for some people. You know, because there's got to be more to it than that. It can't be that simple, right? There's got to be something there. You know, there's got to be something for me to do. Amen? It's too much for some people today. They've got to inject their own righteousness into the equation. They've got to say, well, it's because I did this, right? This makes me righteous. This makes me, I'm a real believer because I, right? But that actually drives them away. It drives them away from Christ because they're adding to. Amen? Think about it. You're going to bring holiness. You're going to bring righteousness into this equation. Right? The one who came from eternity, the one that I just described, the great, mighty God from eternity who came down and condescended, his righteousness, well, it's great, but I need to add my own righteousness to the equation. How does your righteousness stack up to his? Let's put them on the scale and find out. How foolish. Right. Amen. It's crazy, really, when you begin to think about it. Yeah. Somehow Christ's sacrifice for you wasn't good enough. Paul said, I am zealous above any other. He said, as touching the law, blameless, he said. He was righteous beyond, in a way beyond what any Gentile could think of. And in that same breath, that same part of Scripture, he said, and I count it all as dung.
Amen.
Amen. Blameless, he said before the law. Dung. I don't know about you, but I've never met anybody that's measured up to that. Amen. Comparing our righteousness to the Holy One. But he was so humble that they didn't even realize what they had in their midst. Amen. The power of simplicity. The power of simplicity was so great that from the most high and mighty Pharisee, if they could receive it, they could have it. Down to the lowest, most sinful prostitute on the street. The worst sinner, the worst criminal on the street could receive it. Anyone. That's the power of God's humility. That's the power, that's the greatness, amen, of his simplicity. Oh, brother, sister, that's what makes him great, amen. Because he makes himself available to us. Oh, I'm so thankful for that tonight, aren't you?
Yes, amen.
Amen. So, it's not only that he makes himself available through humility and simplicity, but he continues. Amen. He's a high priest.
Yes.
Amen? He's your high priest tonight that is so powerful that he knows every part of your life. You know, the Bible says that, you know, we don't even know our own hearts. Right? And it's true. Sometimes, man, we surprise ourselves. Whoa, I did not expect myself to react that way. Right? We do not know our hearts many times. But he knows every part, every crack and corner of your life, of your heart, of your spirit, amen, of your mind, of your being, of your genetic makeup. Every part of you, he knows.
Amen.
Amen. And he's your high priest. And he's interceding on your behalf.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He's aware of everything that you're going through.
Amen.
Amen. When you're going through a tough time and you don't even know why. When you're down, you've got the blues, you can't even explain it. He knows.
Amen.
He knows why.
Amen.
He knows all about it. He knows the solution to it. He's interceding on your behalf. He's right there with you.
Amen.
Amen. The humility of God to come down and to walk with us.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, as far as the world's concerned, who are we, right? We're nobodies, right? But yet, the King walks with us.
Amen.
The King walks in us.
Yes.
The King is ordering our footsteps.
Amen.
Amen. He's so great. He knows your name.
Amen.
Amen. Look at this scripture, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God.
Amen.
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 No power exists but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and that they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So, of course, you know, he's speaking about those that are in authority over us. Amen. Any of those that have authority or power over you, that's only there because God ordained it. Amen. He speaks later. He speaks about servants serving their masters and masters how to treat their servants. Well, they're in that position because God ordained it.
Right.
He said, don't, you know, he didn't command the servants to uprise against their masters.
Right. Right.
Amen. Amen. He doesn't command us to uprise against our leaders. In fact, he says that there could be no power, but God allows it and ordains it. So, brother, sister, if we take that from sort of a national level, right, down to an individual level, your boss, the people in your life, the people that affect you, the thing that you're going through, the enemy that's attacking you, that couldn't be there except God allowed it.
Amen.
He knows exactly what you're going through.
Amen.
He's ordained the path that you're on.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Isn't he big enough to be able to do that?
Yes.
Isn't he big enough to know and to allow exactly what's going on? So many times we just think things are random.
Right?
Right. Things just happen. I don't know. No. Not for a child of God. Amen. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. These things are not just random. They are part of a detailed and intimate plan.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. An ordained path. I put it like this. You know, we enjoy growing things, right? We enjoy... you know, my dad loves to grow things in the garden, and let me tell you, in Tucson, it's not so easy, right? The conditions are not ideal, but we could try. We could build a building like a greenhouse. We could do everything in our power to build something that has the perfect conditions for a plant. Right? And still, I couldn't get it perfect. Because there's certain nutrients. I don't know. The plant can't tell me. I don't know exactly at the moment what nutrient it needs. There, we would have experience and we'd be able to do those things. But we still fall way short of perfection. Amen? But God, He puts His children... Listen, I'm going to say something here. You are in the perfect conditions.
Amen.
Amen? For a child of God to grow.
Amen.
Say, no, look, I'm going through this. You're in perfect conditions.
Amen.
For a child of God to grow.
Amen.
He knows exactly what you need. Amen. He knows exactly the nutrient that you need at the very moment. Amen. And He allows these things. Didn't Brother Branham say that Satan is just a tool in God's hand? Amen. He's just part of the greenhouse. Amen. He's just part of the atmosphere. Amen. The problem is that we overlook the simplicity of these things. That's where God's power lies, right in the simplicity of it. We look at the thing and we go, why is this happening to me? This, you know, this whatever, this thing, right? You're overlooking the big picture. It's all part of the plan. That is your training. Amen? That has been ordained by the mighty God. Amen. He could have given you anything, but He gave you what you needed. And then He gave you the best weapon to fight with, His Word.
Amen.
I just love that. You know, when we think about, we talk about how God, the mighty warrior, He could have given His children He could have given us anything, right? Any weapon. But He gave us His Word. He gave us the best weapon that we could have right from the beginning. He gave us exactly what we need. We just have to use it. But too many times we look at, you know, a situation or a circumstance and we don't realize that we're in the fight. Right? We look at it as a flesh and blood thing. And we don't pull out the sword Because we're not understanding that this is simplicity. This is the mightiness of God dealing with you in your life in a simple situation. No, it's just my coworker spouting off because they don't like me. No. That's God dealing with you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
No, it's just a family member who, you know, I'm the black sheep of the family because I'm, you know, I'm a Christian. And it, no, it's God.
Hallelujah.
Dealing with you.
Amen.
Amen. God perfecting
Amen.
You. These things are not random. Amen.
Amen.
But they are ordered.
Amen.
So part of the reason that we are instructed to humility is because that's how he lived. He expressed God in humility. And that's how we express God. That's how we display the greatness of God is in humility. Amen? Amen. Let's read 1 Peter 5:5. I just have a couple scriptures here and then maybe half a dozen statements out of the message. Is that all right? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. He says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." No, but they don't know as much as I do about iPhone apps. "You younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." Okay, boomer. No. Submit yourselves. Don't make fun of them. Ooh, I touched a nerve on that one. "All of you be subject to one another. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. But he giveth grace to the humble."
Amen.
Submit to one another. Even as Christ submitted to his parents. Oh, remember. I mean, I keep coming back to it. Take it all the way back. God of eternity. Submitting himself
Amen.
To two little specks of dust.
Yeah.
Amen. Showing us humility. Submitting himself to weariness. Submitting himself to be afflicted. To be spat on. To be talked about. To be ridiculed. To be reviled. Submitting himself clothed with humility. My. Amen. Romans 12:15. He says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." So I want to speak just a little bit here about this word condescend, because we've been using that word in a certain way, right? When we're talking about God condescending from the eternities into time and space and so forth and all the way down. But this word here, condescend, it means to take off together. Now remember, he's talking about submitting. We were just looking at Peter where he said, submit yourselves one to the other. But he's also saying, rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with those that weep. In other words, enter into the sufferings of each other, right? Enter into, be of the same mind one toward another. Humble yourself to enter into where your brother or your sister are. Amen? So listen to this. Condescend is to take off together. To be led away together. To experience with others the force that's carrying them. Or entering into another's sorrow or pain. So something's carrying them away in joy, or something's carrying them away in pain. It's to be take off together. Amen? Condescend to men of low estate. It's awful quiet. This is, of course, exactly what Jesus did.
Amen.
Amen. This is exactly what he did and continues to do. As a high priest, he's concerned and he's carried away with the things that concern you.
Amen.
He condescends to us of low estate. He has the mind and he enters into our suffering with us. But sometimes we need a God with skin on him.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes it's he wants to work through us to be mindful of our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Amen. To not mind the high things, but to stoop down to where my brother is on, who's bent down under the weight of care, and to stoop down in the dust with him and help him. Amen. To encourage him. And just to be there for him or to be there for my sister. Amen? Because that's what he did for us. That's what he continues to do for us. He's our high priest.
Amen.
You've heard the song maybe. I think it's quite a good statement. There's a song and it's, the title of it is, or at least the course of it is, if it matters to you, it matters to the master. You've heard that?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'll take it a step further. Even if it doesn't matter to you, if it's important, it matters to the master.
Amen.
Everything in your life matters to him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just read some statements from the message here. He says, how can I overcome? One time, he's talking about some people here that came from a black background but now they've been redeemed. Amen. They've been saved and born again. He says, one time he or she was young and fair and beautiful. They had a lot of temptations to go through, but they overcome them. See, they overcome. Now they're expressing the real beauty of Christ in their life. Notice expressing through the mud. You know that how he talks about that the pond lily that comes up from the bottom of the muck, from the most disgusting slime. If you've ever been in that, stuck your foot in the bottom of a pond, mucky slime, it's just like the grossest thing you can think of. And there's bugs in there and worms and all kinds of nasty stuff. That's where the lily of the valley comes from. That's where he goes to find you.
Amen.
Notice expressing through the mud. Expressing the beauty. That pond lily comes out of that mud because he goes into the mud to bring them out. And they float up to the top and then they begin to blossom and bloom. And he said that that's one of the most beautiful flowers there is a pond lily. And he would have never known it was there if the life hadn't gone down into that mud and activated. If he hadn't come down to us, we couldn't go up to him.
Amen.
Jesus, he says, Jesus gave us the example how to do it. Now we want to know how to overcome. Jesus told us how to do it. See, humility. Whoa, how to overcome. Wait a minute, this is the message, how to overcome. This is going to tell me how to cast out demons and how to fast and have the power of God that everybody can see. Yeah, that's what he's talking about, humility.
Amen.
Girded himself, took a towel, and washed the disciples' feet and wiped them. The very God of heaven humiliating himself. We don't want to be humiliated. Oh, pride is a terrible thing, brother, sister. Amen? Pride is one of the greatest enemies that we have, the pride of life. You see, the reason is because pride is 180 degrees opposite of God's character. Pride is is what Satan is featured in. Amen. Humility is what God, how God is featured. He says, the very God of heaven himself, we don't want to be humiliated. Why? Because we have some pride, right? That's the reason women don't want their hair to grow. The reason they don't want to dress like ladies should dress. And the reason that he's saying that is because why? Because, you know, people, they say, well, I don't want to look like the old fuddy-duddy. I don't want to look like, right? Right, that was the example he used many times. People that didn't want to dress like Christians because of their pride. Well, I'm just going to trim a little bit of my hair because it looks better. Really? And that's how you judge, right? Because it looks better. That's pride, right? Because I don't want to be humiliated. I can't have split ends, right? That's pride. Touching some nerves. Keep going. That's the reason people don't want to let their hair grow. The reason they don't want to dress like ladies should dress. And men don't want to. See, it's the same thing. They get humiliated. But Jesus constantly, look who he was. Greatness. Now he says, I'm going to say something. Greatness humiliates itself. Grace humbles itself. Well, I mean, he came from the greatest, the great of the great, and came to the lowest of the low. Amen. So, yeah, it's true. Greatness, he's the original greatness. Amen. He is greatness. I mean, I think we got that this morning, right, Brother Henry? I think we established that fact, right? Greatness humiliates itself. That's the character that's in greatness. So look at what he says. He says, I've had the privilege of getting to meet some great men. And it's these guys that's got a change of clothes and 50 cents in their pocket to rattle, and that's the guy that thinks he's something. Right? There's always those big fish in little pond. Right, he thinks, man, I got a change of clothes and 50 cents. Well, he might be a rich man compared to some, but then to others, that's nothing, right? So when we talk, if you don't know what I meant by that, you know, so if you have a small fish bowl and you have a little fish in there, that fish is a pretty big fish compared to that size of that fish bowl. But then you take him and put him in a big tank, and he's just a little tiny fish. Now there's bigger fish in the bigger tank. Well, you put him in the ocean next to a whale, he's pretty tiny, right? And so that's why we can't gauge our spirituality by looking at one another, looking at other people. And so a man that thinks he's great, he's comparing himself against something. Right? If there is pride, or he's thinking he's something, or thinking that he's accomplished something or done something or whatever, it's because he's comparing him to somebody else. Right. But all you have to do is put him in a little bigger pond. Right. Yep. Amen. Yep. That's why God created a 93 billion light year universe. So that you could never be a big fish. Amen. He says somebody get a change of clothes and 50 cents in his pocket to rattle, and man, the guy thinks he's something when he's nothing. But I've stood with great men. I mean great men with ragged sleeves, cuffs, and they make you think that you're the great person. See? Greatness is humility. Don't forget that, church. Greatness is expressed in humility, not how fine you can be. Now, he says, I don't mean dirty now. I just mean humble in spirit. I don't mean you just didn't get out and go wash and clean up. You should do that. You know that. But see, I'm talking about humility, and genuine humility is not something that's put on. It's something that's real, a real humility. Amen. You know that he tells the story, you know, we've all heard it, I'm sure, where, you know, his plane is grounded in Memphis, Tennessee, and he goes down and the Spirit is leading him and speaking to him and tells him to go walk, and he begins to walk, and he continues to walk further and further away from his hotel where he was staying, where he was expecting the call to go back and get on the airplane and go home, and he begins to walk, and pretty soon he comes upon this little house, and he said there was a little Aunt Jemima type. I can't even say that, right? That's like you get canceled if you say that now, right? Aunt Jemima was canceled, but he said she was a little Aunt Jemima type lady, just a precious saint, amen. And she had been sitting out there waiting all morning for him to come by, because she had heard from the Master. Amen. And she was there waiting for him. And she said, "Hello, parson." He said, "How do you know I was a parson?" He said, "I've been waiting for you." Amen. And he begins to talk to her and finds out the condition. And anyway, he goes into the house, and it's just a humble little place, a little whitewashed cabin, just a small, very poor little spot. But he said, "I've been in king's palaces." He says, "I've prayed for many kings. I've prayed in king's palaces," he said. And he said, "I never felt at home like I did there. I felt welcome." Amen. Felt welcome in that place. And he said, he as he began to minister to her, to the need there, to her and her son, he asked her to pray. And if you remember, he said that she prayed, this humble little woman. She prayed, and a prophet of God, right? He said, "You could feel the back, the hair on the back of my neck stand up because of that prayer." He said she knew who she was talking to. She had talked to him before. Amen. She had a connection. So humble. But yet the king was walking there. Not Brother Branham, of course, right? But the king was there. Amen. God came on the scene. Jesus was mindful of her need. Amen. And he was there in her midst. He was there. He was the one that told her to go out and meet him. She was the one that was dealing with her heart. He was the one that had arranged, had ordered her footsteps. He was the one she was talking to. Why? Because in his humility, he could be touched by the smallest of the small, the poorest of the poor.
Amen.
Amen. She knew who she was talking to. I mean, let's just continue. I just have a few more here tonight. God hiding himself in simplicity. Amen. He says, God is that big. He's so big till he can make himself humble. But we can't get big enough to make ourselves humble. That's the difference. So God hides himself in humility and simplicity. And man-made wisdom of the world looks right over the top of it. No wonder Isaiah said, "Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Jesus said, "I thank thee, Father of heaven and earth, that you have hid this from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and will reveal it unto babes such as will learn." Humility, simplicity. Just watch how God makes himself simple. I'm so glad he did. Amen.
Amen.
I'm part of the common people that heard him gladly.
Amen.
Amen. Just continuing here. The same message, I believe, or the same title, I guess. It's different sermon here. But he says now, wait, in closing, we say this, but to reject God's simple message, to reject it, God's simple way is to be destroyed eternally. Amen. He must be received in simplicity. He says, now we talk about how simple it is, and people think, well, they can laugh at it and run over it and treat it any way they want to, but it's eternal separation from God. Those who died in the days of Noah and did not listen to his message, they perished. Amen. They couldn't humble themselves to receive the message that Noah preached. It was too simple-minded for them. Remember, Brother Branham told us in that day they said they have science. They had instruments. They could prove that there was no water. Right? They said this guy, he's a simpleton. This Noah, he's an idiot. He doesn't even believe in science. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Don't listen to him. It was simplicity. But they perished. Those who died in the days of Noah did not listen to his message. They perished. And Jesus went and preached to them in chains of darkness in his death before he rose up. He went to hell and preached to the spirits that was in prison that repented not in the long suffering of the days of Noah. While a simple message of God by a simple man was being preached. He went and said, Noah preached that I would be here. And here I am. That's right. Amen. One of these days, the others will have to face that. Amen. They didn't receive the simplicity of God's message. It was too simple. Amen. Too humble. And they receive it not, and it'll come back to them one day. And Jesus will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. You claim to do all this and to do that. But you wouldn't receive the simplicity and the humility of my message. Amen? Amen. Let's just continue on. I just have a couple more. Amen. If that's all right tonight. Notice, like the sculpture, he hides with a mask over it. That's what God has done in this age. It's been hid. And all these things has been hid and is supposed to be revealed in this age. Now, the Bible says that they would be revealed in the latter times. It's like a sculptor keeping his piece of work all covered over until the time that he takes the mask off and there it is. And that's what the Bible has been. It's been a work of God that's been covered up. And it's been hid since the foundation of the world. And it's sevenfold mystery. God promised in this day at the age of the Laodicean church, he would take the mask off the whole thing and we could see it. What a glorious thing. God in Morpha, masked in a pillar of fire. God in Morpha in a man called Jesus. God in Morpha in his church. God above us, God with us, God in us. The condescending of God. Hallelujah. He said, up there, holy, no one could touch him. So he settled on the mountain, and even if an animal touched the mountain, he had to die. Then God came down and changed his scent and came down and lived with us and become one of us. And we held him, the Bible said. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, handled by hands. And God ate meat and drank water, and God slept, and God cried, and he was one of us. Beautiful, typed in the Bible. That was God above us, God with us, and now it's God in us, the Holy Spirit. Not the third person, the same person. God came down and become flesh and died the death in Christ so that he could clean the church in order to get into it for that fellowship. God loves fellowship. That's what he made man for at the first, was fellowship. God dwelt alone with the cherubims. And notice, he made man and man fell and he came down and redeemed man because God loves to be worshipped. The very word God means object of worship. And this that come among us as a pillar of fire is something that's changed our hearts. And that is the same God that said, let there be light. Amen. And there was light, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That thing that's come down into your heart. So not only has he condescended all the way down to the man Jesus, who lived and died without sin. Amen? Our sin was heaped on him, but he was perfect in all ways. Now he has cleansed us so that the one that said, let there be light, can dwell in our hearts. Hallelujah. But yet the simplicity of it. Amen? Simple people, yet dwelling place for the living, temple of the living God. Amen? Amen. I think about Elijah, the prophet Elijah. Remember during the great famine, and he comes to a little widow woman. Such humility. The great prophet. Right? This is the prophet to Israel. God was using him. This was the spirit of Elijah on the land. Amen. And what does he do? He sends him to a little widow woman who has nothing. She's starving. She's about ready to die. And that's the one, Elijah, that's going to take care of you. That's how God provided for Elijah during the famine. What if he would have said, I'm not going down there. Right? But no. In humility, in simpleness, just a simple little thing, go down to this widow woman, speak to her. Amen? And God provided in that, just the simplest of little things. That's the great Elijah. Amen. The great prophet of God. Hanging out with a widow woman who is expecting their next meal out of an empty cruse. And every time they put their hand in, it was there. Simplicity. Amen. Brother, sister, he's able. Our God is God. He's great. Amen. He's able to meet the smallest, what you would consider the smallest need in your life. He's able to meet that need. Don't overlook God moving in simplicity in your life. Don't look over it because you're looking for something fantastic. Look for him to work in that simple little thing. Amen? Amen. Just two more, all right? Is that all right? He says, now in the beginning God dwelt alone with his attributes. These are kind of wrapping up some of the things that we spoke on this morning as well. In the beginning God dwelt alone with his attributes. Remember his thoughts. Amen. As I spoke this morning, that's his thoughts. There was nothing, just God alone, but he had thoughts just like a great architect can sit down in his mind and draw out what he thinks he's going to build and create. Now, he cannot create, but he's talking about an architect, right? He cannot create, but he can take something that's been created and make it into a different form because God is the only one that can create. But he gets in his mind what he's going to do, and that's his thoughts, and that's his desires. Now it's a thought, and then when he speaks it, it becomes a word. And a word, then, a thought, when it's expressed, it becomes a word. But it has to be a thought first, right? So it's God's attribute, then it becomes a thought, and then it becomes a word. So there's actually a progression there. He says, notice, those who have tonight eternal life... How many has eternal life tonight? Those that have tonight eternal life was with him and in him, in his thinking before there was ever an angel, a star, a cherubim, or anything else. That's eternal. And if you have eternal life, you always was. Now, not your being here, but the shape and the form that the infinite God, if he wasn't infinite, he isn't God. He has to be infinite, and we are finite, but he is infinite. He's omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, so he's all-knowing, all-powerful. And if he isn't, then he can't be God. He knows all things in all places because of his omnipresence. He's omniscient, makes him omnipresent because he knows everything. He's a being. He's not like the wind. He is a being, and he dwells in a house, but being all omniscient or all-knowing, it makes him omnipresent. So what he's basically saying is he knows about that little thing that's happening in the corner of the universe. Right? He knows it. He knows that little thing that's happening in the corner of your universe. He knows all about it. He says there can't be a flea bat its eyes but what he knows about it. I've never seen a flea bat his eyes. That's little. Right? I think I'd have to be looking through a microscope or something. But he knows not just one. He knows every single one. I don't even know how many fleas there are in the world. He knows how many there are, and he knows every eyelash that they have. Our God is God. He says there can't be a flea bat its eyes, but what he knows it. And he knowed it before there was a world, how many times it would bat its eyes. And how much tallow or fat, you know, material is it had in it before there ever was a world. That's infinite. We can't comprehend it in our minds. That's the truth. But that's God. Amen. 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 That's our God tonight. I mean, is there anything that he can't do? Is there any problem or situation that you can come up with? I don't know if you can handle this one. He's God, amen? He's our God tonight. Great is our God. Amen. Let's stand. We'll just read this last scripture here as the musicians come. Matthew 18. Just want to leave you with this thought. Matthew 18, verse 1, it says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Who's the greatest? I mean, they didn't have a clue what they were even asking. Right? Here they are speaking to the Eternal One. Who's the greatest? Well, you know, it's kind of like Job. Where were you, Job?
Right.
You know, when I spun off the worlds, when I stretched out the universe and the heavens, where were you? But they're asking, Lord, who's the greatest? And Jesus is going to teach them a lesson, right? It's going to teach us a lesson. Jesus calls a little child unto him. And he set him in the midst of them and he said, look, truly, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted, born again, in other words, right? Become as a little child, you shall not even enter.
Right.
We're not talking about who's great. You shall not even enter into the kingdom of heaven. You've got to be humble, unassuming, just trusting. That's a child, childlike faith, right? Until you get to that spot, you can't even get in there. But he says, but whosoever shall therefore humble himself as like this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Help us to be like that, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We must accept him in his simplicity. Amen. Because if we reject the simplicity and the humility of God, we reject the greatness. But if we receive the simplicity and we, as he said, come in humility, then we partake of his greatness. Amen. We're part of his greatness. When we say we're part of his eternal thoughts and we are part of the greatness of God, brother, sister, that's not being proud. Far from it. That's the most humbling thing I can think of. Amen? When I think about how big he is and how small I am, but that I would be part of that. Lord, let me be as that little child that just says, yes, Lord. I don't understand it, but I accept it. Amen? I can't comprehend it. I can't wrap my thinking around it, but Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. As a little child, I come to you tonight and I say, Lord, I accept your word. I accept what you say about me. I can't even begin to comprehend it, but Lord, I receive it tonight. I receive you, Lord. Lord, I don't care how simple you move in my life, how humble I have to be, how low, how little I have to get, Lord. I want to receive. Amen. I want to be like a little child, Lord. Is that your prayer tonight? Amen. Is that your desire? To be like Jesus tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, how we love you, Lord. Lord, we're just constantly in awe of you, Lord. The more that we look at your word and who you are, Lord, the more you reveal yourself to us, Lord, the more in awe we are. Lord, and it humbles us, Lord, just to be a part of what you're doing. Father, I pray that you just be with your children here tonight. Lord, and may we all be as children, looking, Lord, to the lowest state of our brother or sister, Lord, condescending, Lord, walking with, being led by, Lord, going with our brother and sister into their suffering, Lord, or to in their joy, to be partakers, Lord God, to help and to be a comfort, Lord, to be a God with skin on them, so to speak, Lord, to manifest your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, help us not to overlook the simple things, Lord, but just to be mindful of what you're doing. And Lord, you're doing great things. You're doing a mighty work in this hour. It is greatness, Lord, the masterpiece, Lord, that you are assembling, Lord. It's a masterpiece, Lord. It's your greatness on display, but yet we know, Lord, that it's in complete humility. It's built, it's constructed of the simplest of lives, the most humblest of people, but yet they're walking with you. Oh God, I pray that you just help my brothers and sisters just see that clearly tonight, Lord. May we walk out of here, Lord, saying how great you are, Lord, how wonderful you are, how we love you, how present you are, how you're always with us, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for every test and trial that we have to go through. Lord, every perfecting condition, Lord. Lord, we humble ourselves to those things because we know, Lord, that you're working it all out for our good. We don't humble ourselves to our enemy, but we humble ourselves to you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless your children tonight, Lord. I pray that you just be with each one, Lord, this week. And Lord, just help us, Lord, to live a little bit closer to you, Father. We love you. Thank you. Help us to worship you greater, Lord. Help us to magnify you in a greater way in our lives, Lord, to acknowledge how mighty and great you are. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. You can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. He counts the stars. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. Oh, think about it now. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Hallelujah, he's so great, amen. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life.